What about contraindications, Corey, to ramucirumab? Do you just apply BEV contraindications? What about brain mets, hemoptysis, et cetera?
The original hemoptysis would probably be a major red flag, but brain mets, not really. The original contraindication for brain mets was done out of fear and certainly not out of any fact from lung cancer. There have been reports early on, going back to the bevacizumab era, in sarcoma patients and also, I think, a melanoma patient where people bled. Brain mets can bleed. So it took the original trials, 4599, absolutely excluded any evidence of brain mets, including treated brain mets. So that certainly narrowed the focus of patients that went on that trial. We did a subsequent trial where we looked at the safety of bevacizumab, both first and second line, with a variety of regimens in patients who had treated brain mets, and there was really no safety issue whatsoever. So with treatment, in the absence of any obvious bleeding, I think it's perfectly safe. And remember, bevacizumab has been looked at in combination with radiation and GBM patients who have active growing tumor. And so I would apply, I'd apply the same principles to ramucirumab. In the phase 3 trials, the bleeding and clotting rates were somewhat higher, but not substantially higher.
The other thing that's kind of different about ramucirumab is it's been tested in squamous, whereas obviously in BEV, it's not. Biologically, any explanation why you can use it in squamous and doesn't seem to be a problem?
They were very careful in the REVEL trial. They excluded patients with central tumor with more than 50% circumferential abutment to major vessels. So these patients were carefully screened for anything that might potentially cause bleeding. I'm not sure that's a true contraindication. But they made the decision that if they were going to use it second line, they would use it in the broader population, and their decision was vindicated. The exclusion for squamous and bevacizumab was really born of a relatively small randomized phase 2 trial where we saw an untoward incidence of pulmonary hemorrhage, and we've never gone back.
I agree with Corey, but the only thing is I would not treat patients with VEGF inhibitors, bevacizumab or ramucirumab, unless the brain lesions have been treated with radiation treatment.
That's what I had heard.
Because treated, radiated brain lesions tend not to bleed. I feel uncomfortable treating patients who have not received radiation to the brain or focal radiation to the brain lesions receiving bevacizumab or ramucirumab.
Agree or disagree?
Mostly agree, but partially disagree. I think with smaller lesions, I don't know how large these lesions were, but 2, 3, 4, 5 millimeter lesions with minimal vasogenic edema, I'm not particularly worried. Bigger lesions, ring-enhancing lesions, I would be concerned.
From a committing oncology standpoint, we treat GBM patients when they progress with bevacizumab single agent, so I'm not as uncomfortable using it. Yeah.
But can I make a quick point that I've heard this argument. GBM is a very different disease than a metastatic lesion in terms of vascularity, in terms of, you know, friable vessels. And even within tumors, some tumors bleed more often, like renal cell cancers bleed more often than our melanomas bleed, metastatic disease from melanoma bleed more often than the lung lesions. So we have to be a little bit more careful about overinterpreting that.
I assume this patient's still on anticoagulation?
Yes. She's on Lovenox, yeah.
Indefinitely, essentially, because that would not impede me either at this point. And again, that was an exclusion in the original 4599 trial. It took the results of AVAIL and, frankly, phase 4 trials and the colorectal data to show that you could continue these drugs in the face of systemic anticoagulation.
Not to drag this argument too much, but if somebody is on anticoagulation and has untreated brain metastasis, about to receive a VEGF inhibitor, I would definitely consider radiating those lesions. Also, it's worth keeping in mind that even if the lesions are sub-centimeters, when they bleed, they can be devastating. You know, you don't need a huge amount of bleeding in the brain to cause significant problems.